Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. On this third weekend of the month of August, we're going to do something a little bit different. We've done it one other time on the program. I'm going to complete the sermon that I began, titled Casting the Shadow of a Spirit-Filled Life, preached at my spiritual birthplace, Sharon Holiness Camp, July the 2nd of this summer. And then I'm going to play a song. And then we're going to move right into my father's sermon titled Behold the Man, preached at a camp meeting. This is camp meeting season, so I know you will enjoy this. Even if you've heard it before, you'll enjoy the sermon Behold the Man. I'll play it, part of it this week, as well as the remaining part, or at least most of it, next week. So thanks so much for tuning in today, and I hope it'll all be a blessing to you. Don't forget that we need to hear from you so that we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tag there. Hope you'll do that. Pray about it. It would mean so very, very much. Well, this weekend, I'm taking off for a few days, spending it at home, and then August 27 to 30, I'm going to be in Dilwyn, Virginia, at the Enon Baptist Church. Then September 1 to 3, Vicksburg, Michigan, at the Evangelist Gathering, the Gathering of Evangelist Friends. That happens every year over Labor Day. And then September 10 to 13, Sedona, Arizona, at a Wesleyan church there. September 15 to 17, Coleman, Alabama, Church of the Nazarene. And September 22 to 24, Sunman, Indiana, at the First Southern Baptist Church. So I do cover your prayers as we're involved in these services. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be able to bring the program to our listening audience today. And we pray that you would just bless it in a very special way to those who are listening, especially those who are discouraged, sick, shut in. I pray that you would be with them in a very special way, especially those who are dealing with serious medical issues. Touch them, I pray. I pray that you would continue to meet our needs in these days. You've always done that, and I'm so thankful. Thank you for our listening audience. Bless them, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I ask it all. Amen. Well, may God bless you as you listen to the remaining part of Casting the Shadow of a Spirit-Filled Life in the beginning of the sermon by my dad, Behold the Man.
It's no mere coincidence that he's called the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for a select few. You go to Acts chapter 2, verses 38, 39, and it says this promise. This promise. What promise? The promised gift of the Holy Spirit is for you, your children, and all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Gentiles are being saved. And now they're being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Peter confirmed it at the Jerusalem Council that the Gentiles now had not only been saved, but they'd been baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said and confirmed it when he told them, God made no distinction between us and them, baptizing, purifying their hearts by faith. Peter saw the change in their lives. And friend, when the Holy Spirit comes on a born-again believer, there's a change. I believe and the change that happens through the new birth experience. Thank God we can be brought from death unto life. But there is a subsequent change in the life of the believer when they truly allow the Holy Spirit to come and do all of His work in their heart and life to purify them and to empower them for works of ministry and service. Peter saw the change. They wanted to know, how do you know that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit? I saw it, he said. I saw it in their lives. There was power and there was purity. You see, the litmus test of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is power and purity. Power and purity. The evidentiary proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not what many think it is. We've seen churches split over it. We've dialogued about it. But I will tell you that the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with any of those gifts. The gifts did not come into play in the life of the church until the Apostle Paul came on the scene. And he began to explain the gifts of the Spirit. And he told the people that he, the Holy Spirit, he will mete out. He will give those gifts of the Spirit that he deems necessary on whom he sees it's necessary to give those gifts. The evidentiary proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is power and purity. Peter's now filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not the same apostle that he was prior to Pentecost. He's not the vacillating Peter that denied knowing Jesus outside the court of Caiaphas. He is not that same follower of Jesus Christ who, after he had seen Christ on two different occasions after he arose from the dead, who decided to go back to his fishing boat, and Jesus appeared to him on the Sea of Galilee by the shore there. He's different than that now. He's boldly proclaiming in front of the same people of whom he was afraid, this same Jesus whom you crucified, he's alive. Without fear, without reservation, something had happened in the man's life beyond him being a called out disciple and apostle of Jesus Christ. I was gathering material for this message. In 2018, we evangelists have the luxury of taking a lot of time to prepare sermons. Pastors have to get one up every week. And I had been gathering material for this message, the one I've shared with you tonight. I'd been reading and listening to other preachers preach on the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've been reading the Word and what the Bible had to say about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this particular May morning in 2018, Gretchen and I were sitting on the porch of our little cottage there in Columbus, Indiana. She was crocheting. Our chairs separated, maybe 10 feet away from one another. We don't have a large porch. She was sitting over there in her chair and she was crocheting. And I had my phone on to YouTube and I was listening to a friend of mine preach on the subject, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We were not talking, we were listening. And my friend finished the sermon. I turned it off. And I was just contemplating what I'd heard. I'd taken some notes, some ideas that I got out of that sermon to incorporate into this sermon. My wife said, "Lane," and I looked at her and she put her crochet work in her lap. She said, I've never asked to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Would you come over here and pray with me?" At that time, I'd been married to her 21 years. I'd never seen her do one thing unbecoming to a Christian. I'd never seen her treat anybody unkindly. She was as much like my mom as any woman I've ever known when it came to her pursuit of things spiritual. Never heard her utter a word that would make you wonder about her spiritual life. I got up out of my chair and I went over and I knelt by my wife's chair. I was broken. I was weeping. I was humbled by her request. I don't remember everything I prayed. I do remember praying, Lord, would you give my wife the desire of her heart? I didn't hear her pray out loud. I finished praying that prayer over my wife, and she looked at me and she smiled and she said, thank you. I don't know everything that that did in my wife's life. She shared later some of the things that were changing in her life because of that. Here's what I do know for sure. She wanted everything. She wanted everything God had to offer. You're going to cast a shadow. And it will be the shadow of spiritual empowerment. Or it will be the shadow of a lifeless routine, okay, I go to church, I show up at camp meeting kind of life. The question is, which will it be? John Wesley said, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then why not now? Why not now? I don't know all that it would mean in your life. I'm not going to try and tell you this will happen, and that will happen. But I do know that if you'll come and say, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me, God will begin to do a work in your life that's fresh and new and real and take you out of here into that world, and you're going to cast a shadow different from the one you were casting before you ever got to camp meeting.
In the busyness of life, all the tears, the fears, the strife, I found you are the only source of comfort and joy. Lord, I want your presence, your witness. I want your presence, your witness. I long to feel your Spirit speaking peace to my heart. Of all His gifts I may receive, there's only one I really need, and it's your presence is nothing left to do. What will linger are the moments spent, my Lord, just worshiping you. Lord, I want your presence, your witness. I want your presence, your witness. I long to feel your Spirit speaking peace to my heart. Of all His gifts I may receive, there's only one I really need, and it's your presence is witness.
Of the church at Colossae and reminding them of how grateful he was for their hope and for their faith and their faithfulness to God. And as he began to talk about the hope that they had of the glory, he says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." These verses in the first chapter of the Colossian epistle, and in the fifth verse of the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, three words: "Behold the man." Behold the man. Without doing damage to this passage of Scripture that I have read in your hearing, there are four verses that I want to reverse their order and have you to share with me in the wonderfulness of the truth that we find prevailing in these passages of Scripture. I'm sure that each of us know that to behold someone means to look at him, to observe, to somehow analyze. And today, as we look at the man Jesus and see something about his character and his life, the things that he did while he was here on this earth, I hope as never before that the Spirit will help us to get a little greater insight as to how wonderful he is than we have ever known or had before. I believe it's absolutely impossible for any philosopher or theologian, outstanding individual, to accumulate a vocabulary that is big enough and filled with enough descriptive adjectives to describe the wonderfulness of this man Jesus, whom we testify to know something about this afternoon. Paul, in this letter to the church at Colossae, in a measure is describing him in minute detail. You'll notice that in this passage that I read, especially in verse 16, he describes him as the Creator God. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, whether they be visible or invisible. All things were created by him and for him. Oh, each of us know that according to the first chapter of the book of Genesis, it declares that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And each of us are privileged together to sit here this afternoon in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of the great creative power that he had in throwing into existence this world and making it possible that you and I might have existence here on this earth. It was this great God of creation that made things that are visible to our eyes today and things that are invisible. When we look at the visible creative power of God, we see that it was this God that struck the womb of night with his male fist, and 10 billion stars gleamed upon the stretches of boundless space. It was this God that set the queen of night into her orbit to shed a golden ray of light across a midnight sky. It was this God that set the furnace of the sun on fire to shed rays of warmth to Mother Earth. It was this God that scooped out the valleys and upreared the mountains and said, thus far to ocean waves shalt thou come and no further. It was he that somehow carpeted the earth with verdant green and laced it with running brooks and with flowing rivers. It was this creative God that set the evening star to stand like a lone sentinel on guard duty in the western horizon. It was he that painted the late afternoon sunset with all the golden hues of heaven's beauty. It was this God that blew his breath upon the petal of a rose and turned it to a velvet pink, a golden yellow, a crimson red, or a lily white. It was this same God that took the dust and made man in the likeness of his own image, breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It was this same God that prepared a little virgin to conceive, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. When I think of him being able to create things that are visible for the natural eye, I also know that he is the creator of things that are invisible. I've never seen, beloved, the celestial city of God that's described so vividly in the book of Revelation. But I, because I know this man that I'm speaking about this afternoon, I know that he is the creator of a city four square where there'll be 50 miles of elbow room. We can shout and praise God throughout the ceaseless ages of a long eternity that shall never come to an end, to walk on a street of pure gold, to look on walls of jasper and gates of pearl, to live in a city where decay never gnaws at fadeless beauty, where time never writes a wrinkle, and where death never digs a grave, to live in a city that he is preparing and building for us, where there's a river that flows down through the midst of the city, and on either side of that river are the 12 trees which bear the 12 manner of fruit, which are for the healing of the nations. And my friends, it's a city where the gates shall never be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. It's a place that he's creating, that he is making, beloved, that's still invisible to the natural eye here. But I'm so glad that I know this man who is the creator God. But I not only know him as the one who can create, but you notice that verse 15 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. I look across this afternoon, beloved, in my imagination, and I see a great host yonder in the heavenly city. There's silence for just a few moments, and God is bringing one to volunteer to leave the glories of heaven and come down into this world. And I see him in his condescension as he leaves heaven, where there's sun-kissed hills and jasper walls, and where the songs of the angels in deathless atmosphere. And I see him look out over a sin-cursed world and say, Father, I'll go. And I see him the next morning, beloved, lying on a bed of straw in a little manger down at Bethlehem of Judea. Why, a bright, brilliant star hangs over the place where the Christ child is laying, and the angelic choir takes the message to the shepherds on the Judean hills and cries to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I see him as a babe there, but my friends, I watch him as he grows into his young teenage and then into manhood. And I see this man who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And if you'll go with me, I'd like for you to take a tour with me for just a few moments this afternoon and see him. No, you've never seen him with the natural eye. You've never looked upon him in all of his glory. But my friends, see him as the image of the invisible God, proving what the book says that he was.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Faustoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.